Once you understand that there is always more life, you will learn to use the illusion that there is not enough life in a way that serves you. This will allow the illusion to assist you, rather than hinder you, as you walk your path and make your way back home. You can relax because you know that you have more time, even though the illusion is that your time is running out. You can create with enormous efficiency because you know that you have more life, even though the illusion is that your life is ending. You can find peace and joy, even though the illusion is that there is not enough of whatever it is that you think you need in your life, because you know now that there is enough. There's enough time, there's enough life, and there is enough of the stuff of life to allow you to live in happiness forever. When you allow yourself to experience that there is enough of what you once thought there was not enough of, extraordinary changes occur the way you live your life. When you know that there is enough, you stop competing with others. You stop competing for love, or money, or sex, or power, whatever it is you felt there was not enough of. The competition is over. This alters everything. Now, instead of competing with others to get what you want, you begin to give what you want away. Instead of fighting for more love, you begin giving more love away. Instead of struggling for success, you begin making sure that everyone else is successful. Instead of grasping for power, you begin empowering others. Instead of seeking affection, attention, sexual satisfaction, and emotional security, you find yourself being the source of it. Indeed, everything that you have ever wanted, you are now supplying to others. And the wonder of it all is that as you give, so do you receive. You suddenly have more of whatever you are giving away. The reason for this is clear. It has nothing to do with the fact that what you have done is morally right, or spiritually enlightened, or the will of God. It has to do with the simple truth. There is no one else in the room. There is only one of us. Yet the illusion says this is not so. It says that you are all separate from each other and from me. It says that there is not enough of me. And so, there is something you have to do in order to have enough. It says that you will be carefully watched to make sure that you do it. It says that if you do not do it, you will be condemned. This does not seem a very loving thing to do. And yet, if there is one thing that all of your cultural stories have told you, it is that God is love, supreme love, complete love, unfathomable love. Yet if God is love, how could condemnation exist? How could God sentence us to everlasting torture beyond description? These are questions that humans began to ask. Clearly, there was a flaw in the seventh illusion. This should have revealed the idea of condemnation as false. But humans knew at some very deep level that they could not give up the illusion, or something very vital would come to an end. Again, they were right. But again, they made a mistake. Instead of seeing the illusion as an illusion and using it for the purpose for which it was intended, they thought they had to fix the flaw. It was to fix the flaw in the seventh illusion that the eighth illusion was created. This is the eighth illusion. Conditionality exists. In order for condemnation to exist, there must be something that you don't understand about love. This was your conclusion, and you invented conditionality as a characteristic of life in order to resolve the dilemma that this presented. Everything in life must be conditional. Wasn't this self-evident? Some of the thinkers among you asked, have you not understood the second illusion? The outcome of life is in doubt. Failure exists. That means you can fail to win God's love. God's love is conditional. You must meet the requirement. If you do not meet the requirement, you will be separated. Is this not what the third illusion taught you? Your cultural stories have been very persuasive. I have spoken in this communication largely through the stories of Western culture, because that is the culture in which this communication began. But the cultures of the East, and all of the many cultures and traditions of humans in their wide variety, have their stories as well, and most are based on some or all of the 10 illusions. As I have made clear, there are more than 10 illusions. You are creating hundreds every day. Each of your cultures has created its own, but in some way or another, they are all based on the same basic misconceptions. This is evidenced by the fact that they have all created the same results. Life on your planet, with very few cultural exceptions, is filled with experiences of greed, violence, killing, and nearly everywhere, conditional love. You have learned conditional love from your thought that the love of the Supreme Being, however you conceptualize that being, is conditional. Or if you do not believe in a Supreme Being, but rather in life itself, then you have conceived of life as a process expressing itself within the context of conditionality. That is to say, one condition depends upon another. Some of you would call this cause and effect. Yet what of first cause? That is the question that none of you have been able to answer. Even your greatest scientists have not been able to unravel the mystery. Even your greatest philosophers have not been able to solve the problem. Who created that which creates? If you conceive of a cause and effect universe, fair enough. But what caused the first cause? This is where your teachers stumble. This is where your path ends. This is where you reach the edge of understanding. Now, we shall fly off the edge. There is no conditionality in the universe. That which is that which is. And there are no conditions under which it is not. You understand? It is not possible for what is not to be. There are no conditions under which that would be true. This is why life is eternal. Because life is that which is. And that which is can never not be. Life always was, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. So too with God, for God is what life is. So too with love, for love is what God is. Love, therefore, knows no condition. Love simply is. Love cannot not be. And there are no conditions under which it can be made to disappear. You may substitute the word life for the word God for love in the above sentence, and it would be equally true. Conditional love is an oxymoron. Did you get that? You understand that? The two are mutually exclusive. The experience of conditionality and the experience of love cannot exist at the same time in the same place. Your idea that they can is what is destroying you. Your civilization has chosen to live the eighth illusion at a very high level. The result is that your civilization itself is threatened with extinction. You are not threatened with extinction. You cannot be, for you are life itself. Yet the form in which you express life at the present moment, the civilization which you have created and are about to uncreate, is not unchangeable. It is the wonder of who you are that you can change form whenever you wish. Indeed, you do this all the time. If, however, you are enjoying the form in which you now experience yourself, why change it? That is the question facing the whole human race. You have been given a paradise in which to live. Every possible joy of physical life has been made available to you. You are truly in a Garden of Eden. That part of your cultural story is real. Yet you have not been separated from me and you never have to be. You can experience this paradise as long as you wish, or you can destroy it on a moment's notice. Which do you choose? You are about to choose the latter. Is that your choice? Is that your conscious decision? Look at this question very carefully. There is much riding on your answer.
The lack of true conditionality in the universe notwithstanding, you have believed firmly that conditionality exists. Surely it exists in God's kingdom. Every one of your religions has taught you that. So it must exist in the universe at large. It was, you decided, a fact of life. So you have spent lifetimes trying to figure out what conditions could allow you to create the life and the afterlife that you desire if you did not meet the requirement. If you met the requirement, there was no problem. But what if you did not? This search has led you down a blind alley, for there are no conditions. You may have the life that you desire and whatever afterlife that you imagine simply by choosing it. This you do not believe. The formula can't be that simple, you say. No, no, you have to meet the requirement. You do not understand yourselves to be creative beings, nor do you understand me to be so. You imagine that I can somehow fail to have something that I desire, all my children returning home to me, which means that I must not be a truly creative being at all, but a dependent one. If I were truly creative, I would be able to create anything I choose, but I seem to be dependent upon certain conditions in order to have what I want. Humans could not imagine what conditions could possibly have to be met in order for them to get back home to God, so they did the best they could and just made some up. These were explained through what you call religions. Religions could not only explain the requirements, but could also explain how one could recapture God's love if one did not meet the requirement. Thus, the concepts of forgiveness and salvation were born. These were the conditions of love. God says, "I love you if," and these were the ifs. Had people looked at things objectively, the fact that every religion explained forgiveness and salvation differently might have been proof that it was all being made up. But objectivity was not something humans proved to be particularly capable of. It is not something many humans are capable of even today. You continue to declare that you are not making anything up. You say that the conditions of your return to God were established by me. And if there are several hundred different religions pointing to several thousand different conditions, it is not because I have given a mixed message, but because the human race has simply not gotten it right. You have gotten it right, of course. It's just those other people in those other religions who have not gotten it right. Now, there are a lot of ways you could solve that. You could ignore them. You could try to convert them. You could even decide to simply eliminate them. Your race has tried all of those things, and you had a right to do so, didn't you? You had a responsibility to do so, didn't you? Was this not the work of God? Were you not called upon to convince and convert others so that they too might know what was right? And was your killing and your ethnic cleansing not justified when others could not be convinced? Was there not something, some unwritten something, that gave you this right? These are questions that humans began to ask. Clearly, there was a flaw in the eighth illusion. This should have revealed the idea of conditionality as false, but humans knew at some very deep level that they could not give up the illusion, or something very vital would come to an end. Again, they were right, but again, they made a mistake. Instead of seeing the illusion as an illusion, and using it for the purpose for which it was intended, they thought they had to fix the flaw. It was to fix the flaw in the eighth illusion that the ninth illusion was created.